very much in favor of the counting of points.
Does it work for you? No.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Run Through, your favorite figure skating podcast, where we talk about all the things that make us kiss, make us cry, and make us get ready for the team event at the Olympic Games in Milano, Italy, Europe. I'm Adam Rippon.
Earth.
Wind. Fire.
Fire.
Also known as Adam Rippon, Ashley Wagner, and not Olympic champion, Sarah Hughes. She's been to Salt Lake, but never gotten gold there.
Wow, that one just rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, my new tagline.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is our like true first kind of looking ahead to the Olympics episode. And it's like our last like preview episode we're recording before Adam leaves for Milan.
Yeah. I'm scared.
Guys,
I'm
does it make you kind of ill? I feel.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh.
Oh, my so my right eye has been Olympics. Twitching for a week, which is always how I know the Olympics are near.
Maybe you need like a banana.
No.
Dried
it's
apricot.
Water.
Stress.
It's stress.
Deep breathing. That'll
yeah.
It.
It's deep okay. breathing. You guys, there's something I want to talk about before the team event that
I
like,
have at okay. least two things I want to talk about before the team event.
We all
event.
Have things. Okay, this is a mailbag of our lives.
Okay. May I begin?
You may.
Okay. So I don't know how, so I am holding out any sort of judgment or opinion because I don't know how they choose these people. I don't know anything about it, but I'm
should have
I'm,
known this was what you wanted to talk about.
I am willing to kind of see this go down, but I want to talk about that they named the athlete delegation who will be going to the opening ceremonies. And it's one ceremony, as Sarah has corrected me before. It's not ceremonies.
Yeah. And it's getting through. You remember.
It is. I've actually been quite good about it, except for right now.
Right now.
Because I'm getting kind of giddy talking about what yeah. I want to. And so they announced the athlete delegation who will be marching with J.D. Vance, if you're familiar with him. And
unfortunately.
Marco Rubio.
All-star cast.
Yes. And then in addition...
Two drag queens.
In addition to them, and this is kind of like run-through themed, is Evan Lysacek is also one of the athletes. He'll be
and
marching.
That is where our connection to this delegation ends.
Right.
This begins and ends.
And so I just want to say that like I see it. I see it happening. I want to see this go down. I want to see it go down. Okay? I just want to see it go down. What do you guys think?
I
know.
Agree
it's
with
not
you.
An honor.
I agree with you that I don't it's not agreeing, I guess, but I'm in the same position as you that I don't understand or know totally how these delegations get chosen, and I don't know like if they agree to be in the delegation before it's known who's going in the delegation from the government or whatever. But I have to imagine if I were in a position to be chosen for a delegation, even without knowing who was going to go from the government, given that the government is this government, it would probably be a no for me to go with the government in any sort of capacity. But yeah, I will, I guess, reserve some judgment, but I'm not reserving all of my judgment. Some of it has been made.
I'm basically reserving judgments until I can get a photo of them all together.
Oh,
and then once
go.
There's photo evidence, then I'll really kind of just dive right in there into the belly of the beast.
I mean, to be fair, there is a photo out there of the two of us with Donald Trump.
And that's why I'm willing to be fair. And that was, but that was when he
what
was
what year
just
was
like,
that from?
From Home Alone. Like he was not even thinking of running for
he
president.
Was, like, running an, he was
running
an
ice
rink.
Yes. Like,
His name was on the rink.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he was just like a fun guy then. I literally dropped dead.
Yeah.
What?
I mean, no. To be fair, even to you all, I did, as has been discussed on this podcast, attend his campaign launch in 2015 because I did think it would be funny. And it was.
It is.
For a short period of time. And I do mean, like, he was saying racist things within a few moments of me being there. So.
Mm-hmm. At you.
Yeah. It did. The fun did not last. And so I think the difference is the knowing beforehand what you're getting into in this case, where the three of us in our experiences did not know.
I have a distinct memory with an athlete who I will not name, but it was in Korea. And I remember they came up to me and they were talking to me about Adam, because Adam was incredibly vocal during his games about Mike Pence. And so this person who was part of the athlete delegation came up to me and they were like, Adam is making my job so hard. And I looked at them and was just like, first of all,
what job?
What is your job? What
a little marching around. I'm about to make somebody's in the athlete delegation, a few of those people's job pretty hard again.
Yeah. Yeah. It was one of the most, are we really having this conversation?
Was it
right now?
Was it a figure skater? Can you tell us that? Or you're not going to tell us at all?
I don't know.
It feels like no.
It feels like it
She's
was.
She's not going to tell us.
You do with that information, because I think it's pretty easy to research the delegation, what you will.
I'm going to forget to do that research, so I would just leave it there.
I will tell you who it is off the pod.
Okay. Yeah, you've never told me this story, by the way.
I feel like you have told me this story, but I
have.
I don't remember.
And you
it
know
now.
Who it is.
I'm sure I do. Okay,
but you know,
all right.
Like, there were a few people who were like, you're making my job really hard when I was at the Olympics. And I was like,
Raph.
It's you. Yeah, he was one of them. I'm
Your
like,
own
you'll,
publicist.
You will survive.
Me.
But you know what? If I make anyone's job difficult and they're one of the athlete delegates, they will always have their personal own ICE agent to kind of workshop.
Back them up.
Yeah.
Yeah. What the fuck?
Now, I've heard something, and that what I've heard is that, like, that this kind of ICE agent has traveled. It's not really an ICE agent.
I don't
it's
know not, what you mean by heard, but I read in the New York Times.
Well, I heard somebody correct me where I was like, ICE is going, and they're like, it's not really. And I was like, I don't care.
It's like, ICE is a department that exists under the Department of Homeland Security, and Homeland Security always handles this kind of security detail, is my understanding. So there is some, like, people who work with ICE, but are not, as far as I can tell, not the type of, not the, like, masked people who are ripping people out of the streets in Minnesota. Like, it's people
the, like,
who, like,
hubba
work
bubbas
with
from
Homeland
Florida
Security
who are up in Minnesota and have never opened a book in their life.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, this branch has been to the games before.
Yeah. So.
You know, my dad did security for Worlds when they were in D.C. as part of, like, the U.S. delegation.
Hmm. Oh, wow.
I didn't know that.
Not ICE related.
Military related.
Military. I somewhat assumed that that was the case, but it's nice to hear confirmation that it's not going to be those losers.
Yeah, I don't think it's like who we are have come to know as ICE specifically. Mm-hmm. Okay, something I want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Blade Angels.
Okay.
Nope.
This is just as bad as the athlete delegation.
U.S. figure skating posted on social media last week calling the three U.S. women on the Olympic team Blade Angels. They, like, mocked it up like a movie poster. Mm-hmm. This I assume is an allusion to Charlie's Angels, but yes. I think we just could have done better. And I don't care. I mean, this is a religious podcast. I would have been out in the streets calling them the Holy Trinity in a heartbeat. Mother, daughter, Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. And obviously Alyssa is the Holy Ghost of this scenario.
Yeah.
Yes.
Of course. But like, even if not that.
Triple threat. That was my favorite.
What could you do? I was thinking, what could you do with like Powerpuff Girls?
I know, me too.
But I couldn't figure out like a pun that they could have done for that.
Or even like Skating's Angels. Instead of Blade Angels, it sounds, can we say it?
Yeah, say it. You said it before. I like it.
Yeah, a little.
But hey, you know what?
I don't know who, by the way,
they're trying. They're doing something. I like that they're at least like promoting their athletes in a fun and unique way.
Oh, yeah, me too. I like that.
That's it.
No, yeah, I like
I mean, we don't actually know who came up with this. Like, who knows? The girls could have come up with this themselves. Like, we don't know where it came from.
I'm still going back to a Lambo.
A Lambo? Oh, yeah, I forgot I said that. A Lambo.
Yeah.
A Lambo.
Or
a
the
Lambo.
Alamo. Remember we the Alamo.
I was reading that. Like,
why not?
Because that's a tragedy, Sarah.
It's a tale of bravery, of perseverance, of, you know, it is.
Sure. Let's talk to the people of the Alamo about how they feel about that.
That happened 200 years ago. So.
Yeah, let's talk
Never
to them.
Never forget.
They're not around.
Let's get them on as a guest.
Right. The others? Let's get the Holy Ghost to bring them on herself.
The Holy Ghost of figure skating. I do think that fits. I mean, Amber as the mother, Isabeau as the daughter, Alyssa as the Holy Ghost. It works.
It does work. Well, because Alyssa, like, she ended her career. She's back from...
Right. Yeah, the dead.
The dead.
The crypt. Yeah.
Yeah, she's back.
I mean, yeah. Amber's skating to a song about prayer.
Yeah.
A religious
which means
anthem.
Death. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. My story is a really funny, embarrassing story for myself.
Great.
I've had it on my desk to mention to you. It says Skims paraphernalia. Now, I...
Nothing is funnier than reshaping your own body.
Or than paraphernalia.
Well, okay, so here we go. I have a deal with a trading card company, Topps. And for part of this deal, they wanted me to send in an item of clothing that I skated in, that I trained in. It had to be just like connected to something I did on the ice. And so I'm like going through what I have left and I'm like, okay, what do I have to work with? And so I found this top that I had trained in for a while, and it was a crop top. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to probably be pulling that out to like skate in for a little bit. It's cold here. I'll send that in. And one of my friends gave me a call a couple weeks ago and was like, did you send in like underwear, like panties?
Did you?
And I was like, wait. What? I didn't know what they were doing. I thought they were going to like give the top to someone. Apparently,
they cut
it up and they put it in the trading card, but it's white and it's ribbed. So it looks like I sent in like tidy whities. Trading card. They're going to be flying off the shelves.
Yeah, they are. You heard it here first. So, get your Ashley Wagner worn panties. Before they
only
run out.
Like, at Tops.
She was like, did you send in panties? Or like a sock?
Wait, can we tell one more story? And then we promise we'll get to the team event. Wait,
I don't like promise that because I have one too. Keep going,
okay.
Adam.
Okay, this is actually, this might be what you want to share, Sarah.
It
but
isn't.
You don't know mine yet. Okay, you sent me a text message, and it was a screenshot between and a friend of yours.
Yes, my friend Kate. Shout out to her.
So shout out to Kate. And Kate texted Sarah something along the lines of, I'm just scrolling through Zillow, and this is what I find. And it's a, like, 2-bedroom, 3.5-bath, something
like
that. Yeah,
like, looks like a lovely home.
Yeah, it's a lovely home and $600,000, something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
We get to the picture of the bathroom, and I want to paint a picture of, like, what that looks like to you. It's, like, a nice, like, sit-in tub. And then they have, like, one of those, like, bamboo shelves that you can, like, put across. So
yeah,
that, like,
so you can eat or you can read or have a drink or whatever.
Yes.
You know, like, when you see somebody having their own little spa day on TikTok or whatever, they always have that shelf in front of them where they're reading and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Go
and
on.
So it is staged. Obviously, it's, like, to go on to Zillow. So it's, like, a staged little setup. Yeah. And there's
two things on it.
Yeah. There's a candle. There's, like, a little bowl of what looks maybe like strawberries, like a little plant. And then there's, like, a book.
That is displayed. Guess whose book it is?
It's my book. In this $565,000 home. On Zillow, my book is in the Zillow listing in the bathroom as a relaxing read.
That's so funny. Oh my God.
Kate was like, stopped me in my tracks.
It's
so
what a good
funny.
Spot. That's hilarious.
So if you I are a listener of this podcast and you're trying to sell your house and you did stage it with Adam's book in the bathtub, let us know, please.
Yeah, let us know your address. We'll put it on blast.
Yeah, we'll get that place sold. We get commission.
In a heartbeat.
Though.
Yeah, commission, please.
Yeah. The commission goes straight to the Patreon fund.
You get exclusive membership to the Patreon.
My final distraction before a team event is also about one of my friends and about Adam. So as
who's
we
not
all...
one of her friends.
No. No, Adam's my coworker.
Yes.
My friend. Mm-hmm. But this is actually about one of somebody that I work with who is a dear friend of mine who also knows Adam, not as well as I do. And Adam, as you all probably know, has been working really hard on opening a med spa and is planning to open it after he gets back from the Olympics. Mm-hmm. And my friend was asking about the podcast and, like, how everyone's doing. And I was like, oh, you know, it's good. Like, it's just a really busy time. Like, we're all, like, trying to get prepped for the Olympics. And Adam has the med spa going on. And she was like, can I be honest? I really thought that he was doing a bit.
Yeah. I can see how
and
that
I
would.
It was like, I could see
be
it.
Be a takeaway.
No, yeah. I could see it, which is why I know that I need to, like, post about it all the time. Because I think the initial, like, there he goes again. Like,
yes. He's painting.
Yes. Like, I need to just repeat it over and over because it does sound like a fake thing.
Yeah, it does. It's not.
It's not.
We all
fake.
Can confirm it's real.
But I was laughing so hard at this because you've been doing that bit for so long that I'm like, wow. Yeah. I mean, you must think he's, like, very dedicated to this bit at this point. Like, he's doing, like, the medical check, and you're like, yeah. Huh, here we go again.
Yeah, he's so silly, that guy.
It's very like the people who listen to this podcast who thought for over a year that it was a bit to call me not an Olympic champion.
Yeah, that you were like sister of Emily Hughes.
Yeah. Okay, so should we talk about the team event? Another bit we're going to take part
in. Well, it is a bit for sure. Yeah, let's talk about it. How are you guys feeling? Obviously, like, the way that this works is that, like, the team isn't announced until, like, right before. And then when we go to the next segment of the teams that qualify for the free skate, those teams are also announced right after. So, like, we don't know anything right now. Mm-hmm.
I do love that this is an event that gets kind of shrouded in mystery and you have to strategize.
I agree.
Releasing the team early would completely change how another country responds. Like,
100%.
I love that. I also love that, you know, barring disaster, we are going to see a Olympic team medal ceremony at the Olympics. and not, what, 2 years later?
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
That'll be really nice.
It's been a while since we've seen a team event medal ceremony. Yeah, so that's a good note because this is the fourth edition only of the team event at the Olympics. The first one was in Sochi. Russia won it that year. Ashley was on the bronze medal team there. And then in Pyeongchang, Canada won gold and Adam was on the bronze medal team there. In 2022, there was a whole mess with doping and ultimately the U.S. got the gold medal after quote-unquote finishing second. And Japan was in second there. And maybe this year is Japan's year to finally get a gold medal or the U.S.'s year to win in a way that feels, you know, not like you're saying, Ashley, not like you had to wait around for a court case.
Right. They'll get an Olympic moment like that. I love just knowing that the athletes on the podium are going to get their Olympic moment. It's not going to be something that's like concocted at another games and isn't really like riding on the momentum of the event. It's going to just feel way better.
Yeah. Do you guys want me to list the qualified teams or do you know them well enough to know?
Sarah.
I'm being nice.
You're being facetious.
Yeah, Reed. You're not being nice. I'm not being fooled. Okay. You just called us out for not knowing.
No, I was. Okay. So the teams that are qualified are the United States, Japan, Italy, Canada, Georgia, France, Great Britain, South Korea, China, and Poland.
Wow.
Several of those countries.
Poland was in there.
Yeah. Several of those countries do not have all four disciplines qualified for the individual events. There is a provision where, like, for instance, the Japanese dance team is only eligible to fill out the team for the team event. They're not eligible for the individual event. You're also allowed to compete in the team event in only three disciplines. You don't have to. So like South Korea does not have a pair team entered. They will just be competing in three disciplines in the assume only the short program. Like they probably won't make it through to the free skate. So, you know, but there's a lot of different makeups of these teams, obviously, is all that I mean. The way that it works is that everybody skates, submits a person to skate in a short program in each discipline and you get points for your placement. Your amount of points in your program actually don't matter at all. Well, I shouldn't say at all. If there was a tie, they would potentially matter, but, you get 10 points for winning a segment, 9 for second, et cetera, et cetera. And then the top 5 teams in points advance to the free program segment. And then they add all the points up from the short and the free skate for those top 5 teams. And that's how you get gold, silver, bronze.
It's like the draft.
Yeah.
Oh, and you're allowed to split up to 2 disciplines between your skaters. So at least 2 of the disciplines have to be skated by the same skaters. So you can only at a maximum
split. You don't have
split,
to split, right?
But you don't have to split any. Yeah. You can, and several of these teams won't even have the option to split them. You know, they'll only have one person who qualified in women or whatever it may be, and that's who has to do it.
I think the team event is such an interesting event because, like you said, Sarah, it's still relatively new to the Olympics, less new to figure skating in general because we have events. Well, usually like one event every other year, maybe where there's a team event. So it's not common in the sport, but it's not completely foreign to these athletes. At the same time, I think I was more nervous for my team event skate. I skated the short program than I was for any of my individual events because it's a feeling you're not super familiar with. Like figure skating is not necessarily like a team sport in a big way. And it just feels very different than individual events. So
no, it does.
I like it. Strategy comes into play here a lot with how you're going to split up your events. This is where we're going to see consideration for a couple of things like schedule, because first out in individual, it's going to be the men. Men
no.
And then pairs.
Dance.
Or
right?
Is it pairs? Sorry, dance. Pairs is at the end. Dance. So dance and men are early events. And so I would imagine we're going to see potentially more splitting with those two disciplines, just simply right. to give athletes a rest and a break. But some countries, that might not be to their advantage. Like the U.S., who has Ilya, it could be completely advantageous to have him compete both segments. But also we'll see if right. that's something he's even interested in doing.
Right. Because if you have whoever's doing the free dance is in the team event is 2 days before the rhythm dance and the individual dance event. Same split for the men. The free program for the men in the team event is 2 days before the men's short. So mm-hmm. you need someone who's comfortable with, you know, that schedule. And if your very strongest dance team doesn't want to do that, or your strongest man doesn't want to do that, then, you know, you have to hope for the best with, you know, someone else on the team.
Yeah. So do we want to go over predictions of what the podium might look like first?
Yeah. I mean, I think the U.S. and Japan are the primary contenders for the gold medal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and these teams they look really similar in terms of all three. Each of those countries is really strong in three disciplines.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So they're both countries are strong in both singles events, and the U.S. is very strong in dance and Japan is very strong in pairs. So mm-hmm. it really is going to, I think it's going to very much depend on how the splits end up going.
Yeah.
And how, you know, and obviously always matters how everybody skates.
Right. Yeah. Because if I have to think about it, I mean, the Italian team and the Georgian team, these might be the most well-rounded ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. But maybe not like a super, superstar in each one that's like a guaranteed win in a segment, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I would be really surprised if Ilya does not win his men's segment, for instance. You know, I think the Japanese women have to feel pretty good about their chances to win women's segments too, or at least get top two. Whereas, like, you look at Italy, they have Alara Nocchi-Gutman, they have, you know, Daniel Grassel, but like those people I think of more as ending up probably like third or fourth in these segments. So mm-hmm. they're mm-hmm. probably, Italy and Georgia are probably more fighting for bronze.
Right. But their mainstream, I mean, like where they can pull away is that if Team Japan will struggle in the ice dance mm-hmm. and the Americans' weakest event is the pairs. So if they can really make some distance between those teams placement-wise, especially in the short program where there's going to be more teams
yes.
and there's less points if you get further down the line, that's like, it's all make or break for these like more well-rounded teams. Mm-hmm. that don't have somebody like directly up at the top, because I mean, what is it? Six teams make the free skate?
Five.
Five. So there's yeah. only, I mean, you're only working within like a 5-point range.
Mm-hmm.
So you really want to make like a big gap. So if like there's, how many teams are there? 10?
10.
10.
Right.
Yeah. So basically you're saving grace if you're an Italy or a Georgia kind of thing, is you want your dance team to beat the Japanese dance team by like six places in the short program.
Yes.
You want your pair team to beat the U.S. pair team by a bunch of places in the short program, because once you get to the free skate, it's like, okay, the Georgian pair got second, but like the U.S. pair got fourth. So it's really just not that big of a gap.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you're right, Adam. I think the short program makes or breaks a lot of that.
Right, because there's less movement that is possible in the free skate. The short program paints the picture, especially for those countries that need big gaps of placement. They need to like get an upper hand.
Yeah, they got to get out ahead of it.
The other thing I always think is fascinating about the team event is, and we talked about this some in our ice dance preview, I think, that's coming out later. But there's always kind of like a little bit of like extra politics happening in dance, when you do the team event. Like, mm-hmm. we remember in 2018 when Tessa and Scott came out and did both segments of the team event. It really helped them build momentum, I think, over Papadakis and Cicerone, who weren't out there for the team event. And I think that helped, you know, I think that really did help them a lot. Maybe it didn't help their scores that much, you know, but even just like the comfort level, I think like made a difference, and it makes mm-hmm. a difference for a lot of them, I think, comfort level wise. But well, I do feel like there's always an extra politic level in dance.
Yeah. I even think that like in Sochi, it was the same of like who's going to win. And it was Meryl and Charlie did both segments and Tessa and Scott did both. And it was like before the individual event, Meryl and Charlie had just beaten Tessa and Scott in both segments.
Right.
Yeah.
And it just made this like really big impression that like, okay, this is just the way that like it's trending right now. And I think that like that was the Shibutani strategy in 2018, you know, although it was like that's not the way that the points necessarily were trending, because Hubble and Donahue did make a mistake in the free dance and the Shibutanis were not in the top three, but it was like they had just they created momentum for themselves. I think it could be interesting. I that's why I do think that like for the US, I almost think that it's worth their while and their best strategy possibly to only be switching out the women, because the women are so tight and it's an opportunity to give one a break over the other or, you know, just basically just get two of them out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But for
I think.
Go ahead, Ashley. Sorry.
Well, no, do we know whether or not Laurence and Guillaume have expressed interest in even competing in this?
They've suggested that they would do the free dance, which I don't even know if France would make it to the free skate. So,
yeah. Right. Yeah. I think it would be interesting to kind of see, depending on what they did, how that would play out and if it would be advantageous for them to go head to head against Maddie and Evan and get that information as a team that just doesn't have a ton of data for themselves to work with, or if it would work against them, because maybe for them, this best strategy is you only get one more chance to look at us directly going against each other and do with that what you will. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, but to Adam's point, like, who knows if France is going to be in the second portion of the team event. I think, you know, U.S., Japan, Italy, Georgia feel like the strongest four teams. And then it's sort of a question mark to me. I think Canada could very easily be that other team that makes it through to the free skate. They have really strong pairs. Mm-hmm. They have really strong dance. And Steven Gogolev has been skating really well in the men's event, you know, and Maddie Skizas can be inconsistent, but when she's on, she's on. So,
she can be really good.
You know, I feel like Canada, if they just get solid short programs out of their singles skaters, they're going to be fine to get through to the free skate too.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And they can even find themselves in contention for bronze, depending on how everybody skates. So I don't know that I expect France to go through to the free program or not, especially with real lack of pairs for sure. And then, you know, the women's discipline, they're going to be a few spots down from several of these other teams, I think. And so, and then, I mean, who knows what the French men are going to do?
Right.
Like they could win the short program. They could be in 10th.
They really could.
Yeah. So I don't know that we'll see Laurence and Guillaume if they're holding out for a free dance. But I agree with you, Adam. I feel like Chalk and Bates, I'm kind of on the team of like, you should do both.
Yeah, of course they should do both. I mean, if you want to, like, this is the Canadian strategy from 2018 where it's like, you don't give anyone an inch, because they still easily would have won that Olympic gold medal if they had switched Tessa and Scott out for Caitlin and Andrew in the free dance. Like, they could have had more athletes.
But they didn't know that for sure.
They didn't know for sure. Like, we don't know anything for sure. So they didn't take any chances. They switched their women out, but they had both been world medalists, Gabby Dalman and Caitlin Osman.
Right.
They were both medal favorites for the individual
and
event.
And you have Patrick Chan,
who's... No, like, they... Yeah. it was the A team that they like they sent out there. And when I think of like, you know, I know that the men's event is so quickly following that it's like 2 days later, we said, for the short program. Well, that means it's also 4 days later from the free skate because there is a day in between. So if you're thinking strategy and you're thinking of like, okay.
And I think actually the men get 2 days in between their short program and their free skate because the men's short program is on Tuesday and then their free skate is not till Friday. So they actually will have 2 days in between the short and the free. So they would like do the short 2 days after team event, have 2 days off, quote unquote, and then do their free skate.
That's so I the thought that I wrote
really
it in my
the toughest schedule because it's every other day they would compete for like
I thought I wrote it down incorrectly because that's crazy for to have 2 days.
It's because of the short track schedule. Short track is using the arena for this competition on Thursday.
Track ruining people's lives.
Well, I don't know if ruining.
No comment.
But
saying that, when you think of Evan and Maddie, I mean, that's a really intense schedule. And if their focus is this is our time to go after this individual medal, and they do both events, that's exhausting. They're not, I mean, Evan, we saw at Skate America, he was having issues with his back. And I'm not saying that that's where they're at right now, but it's just they're skating in like the last chapter of their careers. And if their focus here is let's get an individual medal, you have to wonder if that's going to be the main focus and protecting their bodies. I think makes more sense.
Yeah. I feel like the question is, are they trying to get an individual medal or are they trying to win individual gold? Because I think if their sights are set on the gold medal, I think that they do themselves potentially a lot of favors by just winning both team event segments before they do their individual event.
That's a good point.
And I totally agree that it will be taxing on the body, but it's a little like what we were talking about with Sway and Han of like pushing through for that Olympic moment, like pushing through what might be physically very demanding for this one week. You know what I mean? Like just make it happen for 1 week because I don't know. I would hate to be in a position where you look back and you're like, what if we had done the team event free dance? And like, what if they get silver and then they look back and they're like, what if we had done the team event? Because we just watched Guillaume and Laurence get huge scores at Europeans, which Maddie and Evan did not have the opportunity to do post nationals.
Right.
They could put themselves in the scoring echelon of those freelance marks that the French team got in the team event.
Right, exactly. I've talked myself into it. Yeah, I think it could be. And also, like, the U.S., you don't know what's going to happen. And, like, you can, like, Emmy and Vadim have been having an amazing season. But who's to say that, like, they just won't be judged a little bit differently in a free dance? Like, to have maybe the Georgians behind them or a French team ahead. Have the Georgians ahead of them,
well,
a French team ahead of
believe,
them.
And you have to believe, Canadians would be ahead. You have no idea who everybody's going to put out, but very easily they could be behind the first or second Canadian dance team.
Exactly, yes.
And
that's exactly
like,
what I'm
they
thinking.
Could very easily be behind the top Italian dance team for sure. And, you know, if Guillaume and Laurence were to skate, I don't think they're going to beat them. So, you know, it is such a like maybe, maybe not situation.
Yeah. Right.
But then when I think of the men, I was like, you know what? Ilya has in a way been like preparing for this for the past 2 years. He's skated these back-to-back Grand Prix for 2 years in a row. So, and now he has to do it with no travel. And he's the craziest person I've ever, like, met. He'll be
fine. And we just saw him do a watered-down program at U.S. Championships that was still insanely competitive. And there's something to be said about just, like, do that. You don't actually have to
warm
the
up.
Most insane thing.
Warm up.
Warm up LBL. With five quads.
Right.
Right.
In how many quads did he do in the at Nationals? Four?
Was it three or four? It was four.
I think it was four.
Yeah, he did a flip, a Lutz, a toe, and a sow.
Yeah, four.
Which felt like yawn. But it's like one else is doing fest. Four.
And backflip.
Yeah, but like he could just do that. And I mean, we're saying just, but like for him, he could do that. And then he's like, gets his feet under him doing that program on Olympic ice with some pressure. And then, I don't know, to your point, Ashley, about being more nervous for the team event, do you feel like you were more nervous for the team event because it was like other people were counting on you or because it was your first Olympic event?
No. Other people counting on me.
Okay.
I think great point about it being my first time out on Olympic ice. That's definitely part of it, but that wasn't what I was picking up on. It was like, if I mess up, I could take away an Olympic medal from Meryl and Charlie. Like that was what was getting me.
Yeah.
And I think Ilya, I would love to see him do both segments because I think it would be so mentally strong. Like it would like lock him in for Olympics. Yeah. Like he's here, he's good to go. It's not treating him as like he's delicate.
No, and he's a showman.
I was just thinking this, Adam. I almost feel like Ilya would have the opposite feeling that Ashley had of like, instead of like, people are counting on me, I can't make a mistake. He'll be like, people are counting on me.
People are watching me.
Yes. Right, like he gets to skate up to the moment.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like that's kind of the way he is.
So I do too.
I've talked myself into...
That was the difference between us.
Yeah.
The main one.
I've talked myself into no split for the men or the dance for the U.S. I mean, that is easily their best calculation for a gold medal. Obviously, the team has to take into account what the skaters themselves want to do, and they can't force anybody to do anything. So we'll just have to see. But I do think the best chance for the U.S. to win gold is like Chalk and Bates do both. Ilya does both. And then I think I'd put Amber out in the short program with a triple axel. It's your best chance to win that segment.
Yes.
And then I'd, you know, Alyssa's your reigning world champion and never misses a jump. And I mean, I don't think Isabeau's going to miss a jump either. I think you ultimately just would defer to Alyssa because of her
put
like
your world
standing
champion out on the ice.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But that's probably what I would do. And then I would have Cam and O'Shea, I think, do both segments.
For sure.
Oh, yeah.
Surely.
The pairs.
They're splitting pairs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So should we talk about Japan? Sorry, keep going. You're going to talk about the
US. I like have a gut feeling that either men or dance, like one of them's gonna split. It's just in my gut.
Okay.
They shouldn't. I think that the team should, like, the team as a whole should look at a strategy and like, this is the best winning strategy of like, we want to win this gold medal. And I would say that like in the fourth iteration, maybe for the first time, this feels truly like, not for the first time, I would say that like by the time it's been in the Olympics for, and when I look back, it just, this feels like a real event.
Mm.
Like, you know, like Ashley and I, like we didn't grow up watching this on TV.
No, I was in the inaugural team event where it was like, what are we doing here? Okay, what are the rules?
Like, yeah, totally. Yeah.
It felt very much like a
show. To be clear, you are still asking that question today.
For sure.
To be clear,
things, old habits
I'll
die hard.
I'll continue asking. And the thing is, now it's learned helplessness because I do know them.
So what about
the idea of talking about Japan?
Team Japan. We did see... there were some Japanese athletes that traveled to Milan the earliest, at least that we know of.
Yeah, Kaori's over there.
Kaori went early, as did Yuma and Shun Sato. And there
Kaori's there already?
And there was not another...
Well, it's giving team event.
There was not another women's like skater with that group. That doesn't necessarily mean anything. But I do think people are speculating a little, like, would Kaori do both segments for the women for Japan?
She should. She should.
Oh, well, I mean, they want to win.
The women don't have a timing calculation at all. They're the latest ones. They're going to have a long time to reset before their individual event. So it's not a question of like exhaustion or taxing the body as much. It's further apart than 2 Grand Prix in a row would be.
Yeah.
So
wow,
they're fine. So yeah.
it's a lot of espressos between those events.
She's definitely the one you can count on the most.
Well, she's also the one who could beat Amber if she does the triple axel potentially. Based on like cleanliness and geo, like
it'd
she
be close.
Is, it will be very close. It would be very close, but like she really is the only one.
She can certainly beat like a clean Alyssa in a free skate,
right?
You know,
yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that is the safest strategy. Like, if I were to be going out competitive, I would maybe consider putting Ami in for the short, but. I think for them, they're going with what's reliable and what's known instead of attacking.
Yeah, and we don't know what they've decided. This is all pure speculation off of like one photo of a few Japanese
one
skaters
flight.
At security. Okay, but
meanwhile, Ami's like, I'm on my way.
But I do think it raises such an interesting question of like, I wasn't really considering that they might have Kaori do both segments or that she would. But I agree, Ashley, if you were going to split it, I'd do what I said for the U.S. Put the girl with the triple axel in the short program. And that triple axel is more consistent in Ami's short program than it is in the free skate anyways. Mm-hmm. And then put your really consistent skater in the free skate, Kaori. Mm-hmm. If they were going to split, that's what I would do.
But you know what? I'm almost like put Kaori in the short program because like if Ami misses that triple axel, because that split, there's those 10 placements that if she's just like randomly sixth because she falls on it, it's like they're effed because their
Which
dance will be last.
Which is why it's only Kaori in the event.
I mean,
just why Kaori's the only one in that picture.
That's the argument to put someone like Kaori in to both. That's the argument you could even make for the U.S. of like Alyssa's probably the least rattleable, right? She's like not gonna be rattled. We don't think. So, like, should she do both segments? I think the U.S. women have looked really good all season, so I'm feeling, like, good about them splitting. But you don't know what anybody's going to do.
No, you're right that it could be a team of just 4 unswitched out bitches.
Whoa. Well, and I actually wonder, I'm not sure, and we could easily find this out, so, you know, go to another website or whatever to find out this actual information. But the way the U.S. figure skating rules are around the team event is that the person with like the highest, I think it's like world ranking or world standing, gets deferred, like they get deferred to. So it's not like the national champion, which we learned multiple times over the past couple Olympics where like Mariah Bell, the national champion, did not get an option to do the team event in Beijing. Hubble and Donahue did not get an option to do the team event in Pyeongchang. It went to the Shibatanis, got first right of refusal because they had more international points. And I don't know exactly where they stack up, but it's possible that Alyssa is getting first right of refusal here because she won the Grand Prix final and she won the world title.
Yeah.
So Amber is the national champion going in, but it's very possible that Alyssa is the one that gets to decide if she's going to split.
Yeah.
Does that mean she has to do the first segment?
No.
No,
it doesn't. It
just
means she gets to decide.
Gracie was ranked above me, and so Gracie got to decide whether or not she wanted to split. And then from there, when she decided she wanted to split, the conversation was, okay, what's the strategy? What would be the smartest way for us to do this?
That's interesting. Yeah. I will say that the one thing about the team event that was interesting was that like I had never it was very Japan Open where it was just like, oh, I guess I'm starting with the free skate. Because you just never do.
I guess that's a good point. I'd never thought of it like that, where it's like, my first program on competitive advice was a short program. Mm-hmm. Thank God for Japan Open. My gosh.
Yeah. But I liked it because, like, you know how, like, if you have a really good short, you're just, like, in that mood of, like, yeah, I'm having a great event. Or, like,
yeah.
You go into the free skate, like, in a frame of mind, but kind of based on the short program sometimes. Of, like, mm-hmm. I need to fight back. I need to calm down. I need to keep the course.
Yeah, it sets the tone.
And so to go in and start with a free, it was, like, I could just make up whatever kind of framework I was in, which the framework...
I mean, you were doing that the whole Olympics.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My framework was, how do I make the athletes' delegation's job so hard?
Harder. So hard.
On the men's side, it looks like, I mean, if Japan decides to split, they're in a perfect situation to split because Yuma mm-hmm. Kageyama and Shun Sato have both been finishing like second and third in the world this year. So
yes.
They're going to be basically, you can roughly expect that they will finish in the same spot as each other. So you might as well like let one have a break.
I almost would have Shun do the free skate like as a big strategy base.
I'm assuming he's the one who would do the free skate. Yeah,
that's what I'm assuming. Because he I think is just the most reliable.
Yeah, this season like, for sure.
Let Yuma get his feet wet, get used to mm-hmm. Olympic ice again, and then move on.
Yeah.
Let Shun go in and like get to work.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about Italy, because Japan, I think, it's really only a question of the singles. Miura Kihara should do both segments for pairs, and they only have one dance option mm-hmm. for dance. Yeah. So let's talk about Italy, because I think a lot of what happens with Italy is going to depend on the pairs and the dance. Because Sara Conti has been injured, and we don't know how severely she is injured. But if that pair team cannot perform its best, that's going to hurt this team a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very make or break. And I also think it's going to be like if Guignard and Fabri are the dance team, like it could make a big difference, like where they place relative to like if Lila and Lewis were to do the rhythm dance for Great Britain. Are Guignard and Fabri going to place behind them or ahead of them? And does that one point end up making a difference somewhere along the way?
Right. I mean, you have to imagine that I would assume that Fear Gibson would be doing the rhythm dance.
Just to get their feet under them. There's no reason. I shouldn't say there's no reason. Mm-hmm. But they don't really have a medal chance. Great Britain doesn't. So it would be just to get the program out, right? And it would be to have a good performance in the program. And especially if you're, you know, we talked about this in the dance preview, like they're going to be in a tight battle, we think, for bronze with two other teams who potentially would be doing this rhythm dance. So they may not want to let them do their rhythm dance in this arena without them.
No, I mean, that's so true. But and if they do it, it's like a chance for the Italians to kind of gain momentum on them for the individual event.
For sure.
Because if they are doing it, I mean, it's almost like Fear Gibson should do it just so that they have the opportunity to go against Guignard Fabri one more time after the Europeans.
Yeah, 100%.
God, the rhythm dance in the team event is going to
be
like
crazy.
Crystal ball level looking into the future.
Yeah.
And then
I want to apologize. Ollie is the loudest purr, and
he's sitting on your lap right now.
Whoever edits this is going to just hear.
I can't hear it on my headphones right now, but that doesn't mean the mic isn't picking
it
up.
it's happening. I also think with Fear Gibson, it'll be interesting to kind of see, because weren't they at the Grand Prix final where they were fourth after the rhythm dance? And
the Brits, yes.
And then they moved up. And so I do wonder if, you know, they have an opportunity just to gain a little bit more information about where they're at going into their own event. Because that, I mean, they just really want to set themselves up going into the free dance. So I think it's to their advantage to just get that data.
But I think the rhythm dance could teach us a lot about what might potentially happen in the individual dance event.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Which is making me nervous in and of itself.
With Conti and Machi, I know that she's like said that she's injured. I almost feel like it was more precautionary not to show up to the European Championships.
That's the gut feeling that I keep having. So I'm hoping that we are both right about that. That right, they're fine and they're going to be good.
I can imagine that like it was so just like emotional and draining after the way that they skated at the Grand Prix final that like, hey, listen, oh, like you have some tweak here or there. Like there's nothing you already have. Right. Just like you need the time. It's going to be even more emotional when you're skating literally like 5 minutes from your flat in Milan.
Yeah.
I would hate that. I would not like that at all because especially the practice rink. Is the practice rink their training rink?
No.
Sorry. Those are the dancers.
Marco and Charlene, yeah.
So I would hate that because I would want the Olympics to feel so different. And I think the idea of being like, this is the street I always drive down just to go to practice. Like, I'd want more.
Yeah. Right. I think it's like, really hard to imagine.
It's impossible to imagine what that's like. But you know what? I'm sure that they're obviously like, they'll stay in the village.
Yeah.
They'll do so many things that like will not
so
feel
will
normal.
So it will feel different.
Yes. Yeah.
And like,
I had a hard time at Cherry Blossom every spring because it was in my home rink of Mount Vernon Rec Center.
Right. And they always say that if you had a hard time at Cherry Blossom, just wait until the 2026 Milan Cortina Winter Games.
Yeah, exactly.
And Conti and Machi train in Bergamo, which is a little bit outside of Milan, more like a suburb. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it will feel more different for them, even though obviously they've spent more time in Milan than most of these skaters. But like, the Guignard and Fabbri of it all is so bizarre to think about. And then last but not least, we spend a little time on Canada.
Yeah.
Who should be the defending bronze medalists in this event, and they're not. Yeah.
It's still interesting to me where it was like you had somebody compete who did something illegal. The team should be banned for that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah.
And Skeezes should have a medal after the way that she skated at the last team event.
I agree. Yeah, so I feel like Maddie has so far thrived in the team event, which they're going to need. And Steven Gogolev has, like I said, looked really consistent this season.
Yeah.
Obviously, like Piper and Paul are an incredible dance team. Lajoie Laga is an amazing team to have as your backup team, potentially, like if they do want to split something. But I could see Piper and Paul sort of in the same calculation as Chalk and Bates of, hey, we want to win bronze at least, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, I don't know that they're shooting for bronze, but they want to be at least on the podium. And like, maybe we need to be in this event to show both our programs and get momentum towards that goal. And then, you have two good pair options. Obviously, Stellato and Deschamps are probably your best option, but they've been a little inconsistent lately, but I think that's the team you have to put out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think so. No, Oscar De La Renta needs to be in the team event.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the Georgians, Gubanova, Nika Igadze, Metelkina Barulava, Davis Smolkin, like they're really well-rounded.
Very well.
A very competitive team, especially if they show up and people start making mistakes. I think they'll be able to capitalize on potential movement.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think especially, I feel like the short program is pretty consistent for Igadze and for the pair team. Dance, you don't really have to worry about, although they're going to place lower than I think these other teams other than Japan. Mm-hmm. You just basically the Georgians, I think, just got to show up and be consistent and hope you know, that somebody else ahead of them is not consistent. Because if Italy does clean programs in all these segments, I think bronze would be theirs.
I agree. Yeah. Yes, I agree.
And
it's a big if.
I think that would be really, that would just be a really cool moment.
No, like, it would be.
Home ice, that, I mean.
It would be. But they can't afford to give much up.
No. I mean, really, a lot of these top teams, there's not a ton of wiggle room.
No.
No. So. Oh, God, it's so exciting. It's thrilling.
So, should I, do you want me to talk through the schedule really quickly?
Oh, Sarah, I had it pulled up just in case. Oh,
okay. Do you want to talk through the schedule?
I will.
Okay.
Okay, so the team event is running from Friday the 6th all the way through the weekend. So Saturday and Sunday. Friday, you're going to have rhythm dance, pairs short, women's short. Then Saturday, you are going to have men's short and free dance. Sunday wraps up with pairs free skate, women's free skate, and men's free skate. So it's a jam-packed weekend.
Yeah, and the entries for the first day. So the team event for rhythm dance starts around 4 a.m. Eastern time. It's at 10 a.m. local. And everything's early the first day because it all has to happen before opening ceremony. But they're due 24 hours before that. So around 4 a.m. Eastern time on Thursday is when the entries will be due. So if you live in the U.S. and you're keeping a relatively normal daylight schedule, when you wake up on Thursday, we'll know those entries.
And a little treat.
Yeah. And then the team event entries are not due until after the men's short is done. So basically they have like 10 minutes after the men's short is done to like submit free skate entries.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they'll already really need to know who's doing the free dance because the free dance is that night. So like somebody will be warming up already, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that will kind of happen right in between the men's short and the free dance, is there will be a quick turnaround of knowing who's going to go. And yeah.
I'm ready.
I'm excited. I'm really ready to go.
I know.
Yeah, as my hair is still
Adam, you're
wet.
Actually ready to go.
Yeah, as I'm not packed, by the way.
Oh.
I'm not packing until the day I'm leaving. It's fine.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
It's fine. Yeah, so, I mean, this is our quote-unquote normal Wednesday episode, but, like, we're going to try to be doing daily episodes or almost daily episodes during the Olympics, so that would probably include some sort of reaction to whoever the entries are when we know them. And we'll be reacting and watching as the team event itself happens. And yeah, we'll be here. And there might be some bonus content thrown in for Patreon members. So if you want access to that or you just want to support what we're doing, you can go to our Patreon. And what else, you guys? Adam, bon voyage, I guess. I know that's not, how do you say that in Italian?
Arrivederci.
Ciao bella.
Ciao bella.
Yeah. Bon voy Connecticut to you guys, too.
Thank you.
Yeah. I will also need a bon voyage if I have to take a boat.
Yeah.
You will need.
If you do want to support Ashley and me professionally, you can watch Gold Zone on Peacock. Basically all day, every day.
We'll be there.
All day, every day. So, okay. Great.
Love you guys. Yeah, Happy Olympics.
Happy Olympics. Run through takes over Milan and Connecticut.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.